Father, we do thank you for gathering us together to do the work of your kingdom, to carry out the business of the church. Father, I thank you for these men who are gathered here. I thank you for their faithfulness in ministry, for their integrity, for their desire to serve you. I thank you for the churches they represent. And Father, we pray for your blessings to rain down upon Athanasius Presbytery. We pray for your blessings to rain down upon our churches and upon our families and upon our ministries. Father, we pray that this gathering today would be an extension of the good work that we are doing in our local congregations. We pray that we might do things decently and in order. We ask that we would be enabled by you to do things in wisdom, that we would act with charity and humility. Father, we pray that in everything you would be glorified as we seek to do your work, the work of the church. Father, we again ask for you to be present with us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to serve as your presiding minister over the last 6 years. I won't say that the time has exactly flown by, but I'm glad to have been able to serve you in this way. I'm sure many could do this job better than I. I'm sure that my successor will. I'm as glad as I am to have served in this way. I'm also glad to hand it off to Pastor Hadding later today, and you're certainly going to be in very good hands with Rob going forward. I want to close out my time as presiding minister with a short exhortation to you this morning from Paul's letter to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. I know these words are really familiar to you all as pastors and elders in the church, but let me read them for us. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is Paul, writing towards the end of his life, obviously the end of his ministry. We know he's writing from a Roman prison. And 2 Timothy is something of a last will and testament for the Apostle Paul, kind of like Jesus in the upper room, as he gives the upper room discourse right before his death, kind of like Moses in Deuteronomy. This letter has a sense of finality to it. It's Paul's last letter, likely the last book written in the entire New Testament. And it's interesting to me, Paul speaks of his ministry in three tenses here. He speaks of it in the present, the past, and the future. And I think each one is very instructive for us. Each one, I think, helps us form a sense of the pattern of Paul's ministry. Paul here is really giving the blueprint for his apostolic ministry, and I think it applies to each of us as we seek to minister in Christ's church as well. Certainly his words served as an encouragement to Timothy when Paul wrote these words to him, but they can serve as a great encouragement to us, to all of us in our various ministries as well. First, notice Paul speaks in the present tense. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering." What is this drink offering Paul is talking about? You can go back and study the drink offerings in detail in Numbers 15, Numbers 28 and 29, other places in the Torah that speak of the drink offering. There's a lot of information there, and I'm not going to try to go into all the details there, but it is interesting to notice a few things. One is the Israelites were commanded to bring drink offerings with all of their ascension offerings, peace offerings, and perhaps at other times as well. Just as the animal sacrifices were called God's food, so these are God's drink. God likes a little wine with his meal. Perhaps you can relate. That's one thing that we see in the pattern there. They were offered once Israel was in the land, not while Israel was wandering in the wilderness. No drink offerings were offered during their time in the wilderness, only after they got in the land. And so these drink offerings are clearly connected with enthronement, with Sabbath rest, with victory. They are clearly celebratory. Only after the Lord's enemies are defeated and they are settled in the land will the Lord celebrate with wine. But of course, you probably know that the Israelites would not get to drink any of these
offerings. They would take the wine and they would pour it out completely before God. The cups of the drink offering were completely poured out before the Lord's altar. If you are familiar with Jim Jordan's masterful work, From Bread to Wine, it's a work I highly recommend to you. It's especially helpful, I think, for thinking through different aspects of ministry and liturgy. You know the pattern that the Scripture gives us again and again. Bread is alpha food that comes at the beginning. Wine is omega drink that comes at the end. Wine is eschatological. Again, it has to do with maturity, with rest, with celebration. So it makes sense for Paul to characterize his ministry as a drink offering as it comes to an end, as it comes to a conclusion. But the reality is that in the New Covenant, the whole of our ministries can be considered drink offerings. If you're a pastor or elder just starting out serving the church in this way, or if you are closer to the end of your ministry, either way, thinking of your ministry as a drink offering can be very, very helpful. Why is this the case? Because the New Testament makes it clear, we are presently enthroned with Christ, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. We're reigning right now. We have something to celebrate. We can partake of the drink offerings. The drink offerings, again, were poured out completely on the ground of the tabernacle. And I think that's a sign of what our ministries are to be. We are to pour ourselves out completely in the Lord's service, pouring ourselves out completely for our people, for our churches, for the wider community. But in the New Covenant, the Lord shares his drink offerings with us in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, the fact that we get to drink wine from the Lord's table, is a sign of the church's victory. It's a sign that we share in the Lord's victory. It's a victory certainly that comes through suffering. You only get wine for the drink offering if grapes are trampled and crushed. But through that crushing comes something glorious. Through our suffering, God is doing something glorious. One of the Eucharistic prayers that we use here at TPC, one of the Eucharistic prayers, a prayer of thanksgiving we offer over the wine, includes this line. Even as the Lord Jesus poured himself out for our sakes, so may we be empowered by this cup to pour out ourselves for one another and for the life of the world. That's what the Apostle Paul did, imitating Jesus, pouring himself out for his churches, the congregations he planted, pouring himself out for the sake of the world. And that's what each of us are called to do in our ministry as well, to pour ourselves out for our people and for the world. Paul says, in essence here, that his struggles in the ministry, you think of all of Paul's labors, all the things that he endured, his labors on behalf of the churches were a drink offering, acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. And we can know our efforts are as well. So we pour ourselves out. We can know we're a drink offering. We're called to pour ourselves out completely for our churches and for the life of the world. That's what the ministry is all about. But Paul not only speaks in the present tense here, Paul also gets retrospective as people coming to the end of something are prone to do. He gets retrospective and he looks back over his ministry. And what does he say as he surveys his ministry? He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Think about those things. I have fought the good fight. What does that tell you? It tells you ministry is a battle. Ministry is warfare. If you're called to pastor or lead in some way in Christ Church, you're called to serve on the front lines. To be ordained is to be enrolled in the Lord's army in a special way. You're an officer in the Lord's army. All Christians, obviously, are called to fight. Our baptism enrolls us as soldiers in Christ's army. We're drafted in at our baptisms. But if you are ordained, then on top of your baptism, you're an officer in the Lord's army. And you're called to serve and to fight in special ways, really to carry out this warfare on the front lines, leading the people into battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, again and again and again. Paul also says the ministry is a race. It's a race we're called to finish. We're called to run to the end. We know some pastors don't make it to the end. Not just that they leave the ministry, but some abandon the faith altogether. But Paul could say, I finished the race. And that's what we want to be able to say when we come to the end of it. We want to run to the end. This means perseverance. It means endurance. And Paul says that he has kept the faith. It means he's guarded the faith It means he's preserved it. When he says, I have kept the faith here, I think he's saying he's preserved true doctrine against all those false teachers that sought to undermine his ministry. Paul has preserved the true doctrine. It means he's lived out this true doctrine. He's put it into practice. It means he's passed this true doctrine on to the next generation. That's what he's doing with Timothy. We're called to form and raise up another generation to take our place. It means that he's preached this true doctrine to his people again and again and again. And that's what we're called to do. Keep the faith. Guard the faith. Do not hold anything back that might be profitable for your people to hear. Do not hold anything back from the Word of God. I know pastors who do this. It takes courage to preach the whole counsel of God. It takes courage to keep fighting and running. But as Paul shows us here, the ministry is not supposed to be easy. And when it comes to proclaiming this doctrine, to keeping the faith, guarding the faith, proclaiming the faith, we can't pull any punches. Again, we've got to proclaim everything that might be helpful or useful from God's word to our congregations. We're going to declare the whole counsel of God to our congregations. I love what Paul says in Acts chapter 20 to the Ephesians as he summarizes his ministry among them. He says, I held back nothing that would be profitable as I taught you publicly and from house to house. You want to be able to say that. To not look back on sermons and say, you know, I wish I had the courage to say that. No, say it. And finally, Paul looks ahead, future tense. He says, there is stored up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Faithful ministry will be rewarded. Faithful ministry. The only thing that's going to keep you going sometime in your ministry is looking ahead. Because if you look at the church around you as it exists, a lot of it's going to be a mess. And there's going to be all kinds of fires in your congregation you're running to put out and problems you got to deal with. Paul certainly dealt with all of that. You read his letters and you think all these churches Paul planted just were a mess in so many ways. And our churches often are too. How are we going to grow? How are we going to deal with this marriage problem over here, or this struggle somebody has over here, or this person who's sick and dying? All kinds of things we have to deal with. What keeps Paul going? He stays focused on the future reward. This is what you need to remember, and I think this is what Paul was doing here. Faithful ministry will be rewarded. Nothing you do goes unnoticed. Nothing you do goes unnoticed by the Lord. It might go unnoticed by your congregation, but it does not go unnoticed by the Lord. You may be unappreciated by your congregation. You may be underpaid and overworked. A lot of pastors are. No one may know the sacrifices you put in. The sacrifices you put in your study to craft a sermon, the sacrifices you put in the prayer closet, praying over your people, agonizing in prayer over your people, the effort you put in to building community, to building friendships, efforts that may not be reciprocated, efforts you put in to show hospitality that, again, may not be reciprocated. But you should never, ever feel sorry for yourself. That's one of the things that's so remarkable about Paul. All he went through, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the imprisonments, you can go down the list. And Paul's apostolic resume mostly consists of bad things that happened to him when he preached the gospel. But Paul never feels sorry for himself. He never whines, never complains. And we shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves either. You should never whine and say, oh, woe is me. You know, no pastor's ever had it so hard. You're going to be crowned. You're going to receive the crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. Your reward is coming. And so you can be joyful. You can be joyful in the midst of trial. You can be patient with difficult people. You can persevere when it's really, really hard and you wonder if your church is going to survive or if your ministry is going to survive. You can persevere because you've got your eyes fixed on that future crown, that crown of glory, that crown of righteousness that is stored up for you. What we have in these verses is really Paul's blueprint for ministry. He shifts back and forth between these tenses, but if you take it all together, you really see Paul's pattern for ministry, and we would do well to follow in his footsteps, pouring ourselves out as a drink offering in the present, fighting, running, and persevering so we can look back on our ministries with satisfaction, and always looking ahead to the crown awaiting us in the future when our ministries are complete. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this great task that you have given to us, your officers in your church. Father, if we have been ordained as elders, as deacons, as pastors, as teachers in your church, Father, we know that you've given us a high and lofty calling, a very privileged place, a place of great responsibility. But Father, we know too that with all of that, there can be great difficulties, there can be great struggles. But Father, we thank you that you are faithful. I pray that you would help each of us to serve you in such a way that it is evident to all we are pouring our lives out as a drink offering for our people and for the life of the world. Even as Jesus poured himself out on the cross, even as the Apostle Paul poured himself out, may we pour ourselves out. Even as Paul fought and raced and persevered, Father, may we guard the faith. May we run the race to the end. May we fight the good fight as well. And even as Paul remained focused, keeping his eyes fixed on that crown, that glorious reward in the future, may we too look ahead to that glorious reward you promised us, knowing that there's not anything that we do for you that goes unnoticed. Everything we do in the service of your kingdom will be rewarded. Father, there may be great suffering involved in our ministries now, but we know a greater glory awaits us. Keep us focused on what you have in store for us when the Lord appears. Father, we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.